thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
The Bible reading tonight is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, from verse 12 to 22. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you, but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve him, the Lord your God, with all your heart and all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you their descendants above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. For the Lord your God is God of all gods and Lord of all lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the foreigners residing among you, giving them food and clothing. And you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourself were foreigners in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your ancestor who went down into Egypt was 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you innumerable as the stars in the sky.
Would you join with me for a brief moment of prayer as we get underway? Father, I thank you for what we've heard tonight in a number of different ways, Lord, that you love us. And that is a beautiful truth. And Lord, we want to bask in the glory of that tonight. Father, to be changed by that, to hear that in a new way. Father, for that to impress upon our hearts and not just be a word or a sentence locked up in our minds. Father, we welcome you because we believe you're real and that you're at work and that you're at work in this place right now. So we welcome you by your Spirit to move in this place, to teach us and to shape us beyond my words. Father, thank you. Amen. You learn a lot about people when it comes to the washing up at the end of a dinner party. The natural lull in conversation, that kind of awkward shuffling that happens. And then a number of different species of human being appear. The first is the phone checker. And after a bit of a yawn, pulls out the phone, checks it, and goes, "Oh, I'm really sorry, I've got to get back for the babysitter." And then there's Mr. All Talk. And yes, this person is stereotypically male. And they declare at the end of the dinner party, "I got this, don't worry. Let me do the clearing up." And then they swiftly take all the plates from the table and balance them in the last remaining clean spot in the kitchen and then leg it for the door, hoping that you don't realize that that's all they've done. And then there's the mouse. And they have left the dinner table after a small mouthful of dessert, before anyone else has finished. And then when you find them in the kitchen, elbow deep in greasy water, thinking to themselves, "I really must do the washing up. I mean, my conversation is so trivial in comparison to those at the dinner table. Far be it from me to waste their time with my chat." And then there's the perfect guest. The perfect guest quietly gets on with the washing up while still managing to maintain this enthusiastic conversation with the rest of the dinner table. I have no idea how they do that. And when you discover that person in the kitchen drying up the last glass and are mortified, they quietly, gently, calmly say to you, "Oh, it's no problem. It's a pleasure to serve you." And whether or not you recognize yourself at the dinner party, we are all motivated to serve by something or another. Keeping up appearances, obligation, fear, sometimes love. And this passage in Deuteronomy, found in the context of Moses giving the Israelites the Ten Commandments for the second time, speaks about service as well. And right here in verse 12, at the beginning, we hear Moses command to Israel, to God's people, "Fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Now, as a brief aside, when we hear the word fear in the context of a passage like this, the fear that is being described is perhaps more clearly understood as reverence or holy awe, that sense you get when you are in the presence of someone who is both loving and extraordinarily powerful at the same time. Like the time I got my face licked by a lioness through a fence in South Africa. And if that illustration freaks you out, then please ignore it. But this is not the nightmarish, panicked fear that we are paralyzed by. This is fear that is firmly rooted in love, grounded in love. And when God is talking in affectionate terms to his people, and this word is used, then that's what we need to understand by that term. And love and service through obedience are themes throughout the book of Deuteronomy. They come up heaps of times. There's no need to flick to these, but I'll just highlight a few. Chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws." Chapter 28 says, "Obey the Lord and you will be blessed." And central to obedience to God, at the heart of obedience to God, is reverence for or love of God. Because service that comes from a place of love looks totally different. And now for a nerdy bit, but stick with me. For a long time, strong atheistic scientific thought has pointed to a world that is deterministic or mechanical. If this happened, then this is going to happen. And atheist Richard Dawkins argued in his book that because of selfish genes within the human body, humans are programmed to survive at all cost, to survive even at the expense of other human lives. And if this is true, then this leaves us in a world that is driven by fear. Lives that are driven by fear, the fear of not surviving. But if God is the God who owns the highest heavens, as this passage talks about, and owns the earth and everything in them, if God is the maker of all that surrounds us, of the life that we see when we open the window and we gaze out, the life that we see sitting around us this evening, if God is the God who is behind what can only be described in creation as an extraordinary act of creativity, then the determining force in the universe is God's choice to create life. The determining force in the universe behind God's desire to create, to make us, you and me, is love. And when service is driven by love, it looks totally different. I find it much easier to serve my wife. When she asks me for help or to do something, I am far more likely to drop things and serve her, help her out, than anyone else that I know. And that is because I love her more than anyone else in the world. And I am called to love you guys. And I really do like some of you. But if one of you asks me to help you out with something, at the same time that my wife asks me to come with her to an extended family function, then I am going to help. I am going to go to the extended family function with my wife. Because when you love someone, service is much easier. It's much more natural. And of course, there are times when I am lying on the sofa and I do not want to get up. I do not want to help my wife out. We're all fallen people. We all struggle with the bits that are not yet fully restored, that are not yet the way that God intended them to be. But on the whole, it is much easier to serve someone that you love. And that's why I think this passage in Deuteronomy reminds us that love and service go hand in hand. Love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul, in verse 12. Because God knows what we need in order to serve him, that we need to be captivated by him, to be sustained by him, enfolded into this loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. But the problem is that we have got love and service the wrong way around. We've lost sight of love's role within service because the world is constantly telling us something completely different. The world is constantly rushing to doing. It races ahead to action because we're told that that is the way that you truly make a difference in the world. Even within Christian circles, we talk in this way. We talk about making a difference by welcoming the stranger or bringing healing to the sick, bringing food to the hungry. And at its most extreme, we talk about fighting for peace or waging a war on poverty. And in their outcome, these things aren't bad. I mean, of course they're not bad. We are called to pay attention to those things. We're meant to be concerned about them. And we are even meant to be doing something about those things. But the problem is we often race ahead to the doing, to serving, before love. I think there's room for a checkup on our hearts with regards to our motivation for service. As I think so often we are driven by obligation, we are motivated by fear. We're driven by this desire to keep up appearances. We are doing the washing up because we think we should. And as well as racing to action too quickly, we've also been sold the lie that love is a soppy emotion reserved for dogs and young couples. Or that it is purely about pleasure. Our understanding of love needs an overhaul. I am reluctant to use another dating illustration after Jodine's fantastic sermon last week, but I think it's still relevant, so here goes. My sense of calling into ministry and my dating history have had a rather turbulent relationship. I used to be paralyzed by dating, almost literally, crippled by fear. And the fear that I was crippled by was the decision of whether or not I had made the right choice. Whether I'd made the right choice in girlfriend. Whether I had made the right choice in future wife. And this started at the age of 14. I would have knots in my stomach that paralyzed me for weeks on end. And the reason that I was paralyzed was because since sensing God's call into ministry, since I was in my early teens, I endlessly questioned whether this girl would look right standing next to me in ministry. Whether this girl, this woman, would play the part well enough. And yes, it is still good to ask questions about who you're dating. Don't hear me not saying that. But I had to go through the very painful process of repenting for my motivation for serving in ministry, for my motivation for finding a wife, because I'd got it all wrong. I was motivated by obligation, by fear, by keeping up appearances. I put serving before love. And I wasn't entering into serving in pastoral ministry, or finding a wife for that matter, from the experience and understanding the transformational nature of knowing God's love in my life, and that overflowing into all that I did. But I believe that the sweet truth is that God is inviting us all into a better version of life, into a better existence, a better way to serve. In 1 John and in Acts, we are reminded that God is love. And in him, we live and move, and we have our being. And in Ephesians, Paul commands believers to follow God's example and to walk in love, to walk love out. And this is because the origin of love is in God. The origin of love, where love came from, is in God. God's love is this powerful force that is at work within creation, compelling life forward. This extraordinary creative act. It is not just the decision behind whether or not we're going to buy a box of chocolates or a bunch of flowers. The start of any desire to serve has to first be born in God, be found in God. And the only way that we can come to serve that all may know who God is and what God has done is if we first come back to him, if we first come back to him and love him, if we come back to God and we receive his love for us once more. This passage says that the Lord has set his affections on his people. That's amazing. And when we give space to get caught up once again in God's love by the power of the Holy Spirit that unites us with him, when we choose to re-engage with the loving Father who has made us and who loves us and desires us and calls us to himself, when we give space for God's love to fill us again, then we are transformed. We're changed. And we become more like Jesus. God's nature becomes our determining force. The love of God becomes our determining force. And we begin to serve out of this love, from the overflow of this love in our lives. If humans are all cups of water, and bear with me, they're designed to provide water to other people. But the ability to provide water to another human being is significantly increased if we remain attached to the source. If we remain in God and He in us, then service continues to come as an overflow of this love that God pours into us, and that we might go on loving others and serving them from this overflow. But I know that I am prone to wander, to go my own way. And I am constantly fighting against this pull, the world's urgent pull away from this. The world's urgent pull towards doing, getting things done. I must get through the task list because that is the way I make a difference. And I suffer under this every week. And I wonder if some of us here also suffer under that. Ultimately serving from this motive of obligation or of fear or of keeping up appearances. But God has made a way for us to come back to Him. To hide ourselves in God's love. To find love that transforms again. To regularly take time with God to find this love, to feel it, to have it lavished upon us. That we might serve from this overflow. And the way back is in worship. I am wary of telling stories from the platform that suggest that, or that might suggest that I've got it all together. Because let me tell you, I have not got it all together. If you were in any doubt. But I got a sense from God as I was preparing this message that it was all right for me to share stories of God's work in my life, where He had done something. So here goes. In the year 2000, I visited South Africa, and I worked with street kids in a shelter just outside of Durban. And this was an incredible experience, one of my life's most transformative experiences. It changed the way that I see so many things, and it particularly shaped and changed my relationship with God. Transformed that, and it has gone on doing that ever since. But many hours whilst I was there, I experienced a kind of frustration or a trouble. I experienced a toughness that I couldn't really cope with. And I know that this kind of frustration and fear and difficulty that I was experiencing was nothing in comparison to the struggles that these young kids were facing in their lives. But for me, it was hard, because it was all new. This was all new to me. I was sick of eating weird food. And I was sick of showering under a pipe that stuck out a wall and rained cold water on you every morning. I wanted to go home and see my family. I missed my family. And I was plagued by this sense while I was there that I wasn't really making much of a difference by being there. But every other day, whilst the friend that I was there with was taking his turn to help out in the classroom that was on the premises of this shelter, I went and grabbed a key from the office, and I would go to this rundown, disused chapel that was on the outskirts of the kind of the property where the shelter was. And I'd open the door, and through cobwebs, a lot of cobwebs, there was this space. And there in that space, on an oil drum with an animal skin stretched over it, I would pound out rhythms. And I'd make up songs, and I would pray, and I would worship God in that space, sometimes for hours on end. And in that space, in that time, day after day, I sensed God's love for me again. I sense God's delight in who I was. And as I sang and made up songs and read bits of my Bible and prayed, I was captivated by the incredible nature of being able to spend time in conversation with the God who made everything around me, the God who made the universe, and who still had time to hang out with me in this disused, rundown chapel somewhere in South Africa. And with tears rolling down my cheeks day after day, I was made alert to this love that God had for these young people, for these street kids. And he filled me again with his love, such that it overflowed into my service. In verse 21, it says, "He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes." Worship is how we come back to the love of God. Worship is how we re-immerse ourselves in God's love for us, such that it overflows into our service. Because his great wonders have been at work letting his people know. And God's intention, his desire, is that those great works would go on letting others know as we are shaped and changed by them. Because God's desire is that all may know that he is God. And yes, we can be worshiping on our own. We can be heading out into God's creation, to our favorite landscape, and marveling at this incredible beauty that God has created around us. I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what place it is for you where you go, "Oh, wow, that's amazing." And you just want to soak it in, Instagram it. We can even be singing on our own. I sang in the car on the way to work this morning. It's a beautiful soundproof space. Or we can be singing in a disused chapel in Durban. But there's something extraordinary that happens when we as a community together come together to sing together, to declare truths of who God is and what God has done together. When we put God first and we sacrifice our desire to worship in this particular style or sing that particular song, and we recognize that this is all about God, this is all about giving him the glory that he deserves, to declare our love for him. And the joyous, beauteous moment in that is that God blesses us by saying, "Hey, look, I love that you're doing that. I love you too." And when we open ourselves up to that, when we open ourselves up to giving God all of our worship, we are opening ourselves up to receive a love that will transform your existence, a love that you may be searching for. But let me tell you, I promise you, it is found in God. When we open ourselves up to worship God in that place, we are united in this beautiful relationship that we see in God, his relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. We are captured up into that when we praise, when we invite the Holy Spirit to lead us, to be a part of our lives. We're welcomed into that. And as we join God in the dance of this loving relationship, perfect love, then we are transformed. We cannot fail to be transformed by that. And I promise you that when you take time to do that, regularly taking time to do that, wherever you find yourself, if you are finding yourself in a low moment, in a moment where you're facing something you cannot work through, take time to worship God. And I promise you that people will start to see something different about you. They will start to notice something weird about you. And they may not be able to put words on it, but they will be sensing God at work in your lives. Because that's what he loves to do. He delights to equip you, to resource you, to serve that all may know who he is. When we serve from a place of love, when we serve firstly coming back to God and giving him our worship, then others will know that he is the one who has resourced you and sustained you for service. Because loving God frees us to serve that all may know. Would you join with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you love us. And Lord, we hear that sentence, that phrase, so often. We read it. And I've repeated it a number of times this evening. But Father, it doesn't mean anything if it's just words that are stuck in our head. But Lord, I pray right now, by the power of your Spirit, that in all of us, in me, we might receive your love once more, that it might translate from our heads into our hearts, that we might experience this, that we might know it deep down in our gut. And Father, as we bask in the glory, in the wonder that the Creator of the universe loves us, has got time for me and for you, Lord, I pray that we'd take hold of that moment. We would lay hold of it. And we would thank you. We would worship you. And Father, I know that when we experience your love in this way, when we love you, when we declare our affections for you, that it wells up within inside us because your Holy Spirit is present within us and that you will transform our existence such that we might serve from a place of love and not from obligation, from fear, from the desire to keep up appearances. Well, we want to enter into this. Father, we want to take on your yoke, which is easy, and your burden, which is light. Because this is a much better life. So, Father, I pray right now, whatever needs to happen in each of us, whatever needs to happen for each of us to receive that, Lord, would you do that right now by your Spirit? Amen.